Dude, it's an escape, man. The way that comedy works is that you're building up a tension and then you're releasing that tension with the punchline or with the tag, whatever, with the joke. And the release is the laugh. So that's, and people need that. Life is tough. And so being able to come out and enjoy yourself for a little bit, that's what I love to do. That's why I love it so much.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We're excited to bring you another episode of Louisiana's Playground Podcast with the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana and all the tools you need to build your own personal itinerary here in Lake Charles.
This is a funny episode.
Ha-ha.
Episode 43 of Louisiana's Playground. We talked to Jacob Guidry with Lake Charles Comedy as he dishes on all of the funny stuff and the fun things that they do to bring some much-needed comedy to Lake Charles, whether it be their weekly shows or even sometimes their events that they bring in touring comedians. We go through all of that in a very fun and funny conversation. See, I've said funny so many times, it has to be funny, right?
Like, sure.
I think that's the way it works.
When you explain it as funny so many times, it just is going to be.
That's when a joke is good.
Yeah, when you explain, comedy is always better explained.
You know what else is always better explained? Food. How
that's
about
right.
Some Envy Eats?
Let's talk about it. This week, we headed over to OB's. It's a staple here in Lake Charles since the 1980s, situated right on Ryan Street, which is in downtown Lake Charles. Just a quick drive off of 210 or I-10, either way you're getting into town, and a really cool spot.
And I love what they've done in recent years. You know, COVID was such a perfect time for a lot of us to kind of reinvent ourselves, kind of search within, figure out your flaws, and then fix them. And that was one thing that they did. They looked internally and figured out what can we do to kind of change the landscape, so to speak. And so they really started focusing more on the ingredients that they use for their food, and they've really focused on seafood because they were very much more into the bar than the and grill after their name.
Sure.
And now it's And Grill is now what they feature, right? So now they're really a restaurant first and foremost, and then a bar second. And so I love that change and that dynamic that they've done, and the food reflects that change.
Sure, but a cool atmosphere there no matter what. You know, mm-hmm. You walk in, you've got the big round bar in the middle, just the center of all entertainment
sure.
there.
It really is. And then the way that it kind of sets up, it ends up being perfect for, as we talk about later with Jacob Guidry, the comedy nights on Monday. It's a nice intimate venue for that. Or it's just kind of a relaxed, low light style atmosphere for lunch, dinner, or whatever. And they have a slew of different things to eat there. Things like burgers and sandwiches. And like I said, seafood. They have crawfish specials during crawfish season on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. So anytime that you go during the week, you're going to get a great plate of food.
That's right. So let's start with the appetizer that we got, which are the OB's egg rolls. And if you're familiar with the traditional egg roll, this is not.
No,
this is not it. These egg rolls are stuffed with turkey, ham, roast beef, American cheese, Swiss cheese, provolone cheeses, all the cheeses, seasoned, and lots of different dipping sauces as well as options, but gravy is the one, right? Gravy is the way to go on these. If you're not familiar, this is a po' boy, generally. These three different styles of deli meats and cheeses are really popular po' boy here in Lake Charles, especially. And everyone kind of does it their own way. And
yep.
This is a really unique, cool take on it that OB's is doing by basically wrapping them all up in an egg roll and dipping them in gravy. And, you know, when gravy served with something, can you go wrong? Can it be bad?
Let me check. No.
Yeah, okay.
The answer's no.
Glad you looked through your paperwork there first. Yeah, you just can't go wrong with this. It was great. It's great for sharing, perfect for a group. Delicious.
Well, it's the three of the good food pyramid, right? Crispy, cheesy, meaty.
There you go.
There you go, right? I went with another appetizer because this one caught my eye when I've been before, and it's the pickles and peppers. So instead of just having fried dill pickles, which most places always have, it's great, it's delicious, the salty with the vinegar all works really well, but they add another twist to it and do jalapeno peppers as well. So you have fried jalapeno peppers and fried pickles. And so you get kind of that, the heat and then that, the pepper flavor there that mixes with the pickle, the trick is to grab one pickle and one jalapeno and eat them together.
Combo.
Right. But they really play off of each other so well, and they're lightly coated in flour, and it's so, so good. And you never realize that just doing jalapenos in addition to pickles would work so well, but it does, and I wish more places would follow suit.
It also makes for kind of a dangerous appetizer, too, if you don't know what you're reaching for.
Oh.
You think you're getting a pickle?
Sure.
And you instead get a pepper? Or the other way, if you don't like pickles?
Peter Piper would love it.
Oh, yeah. The pickled peppers and such.
That's right.
It should be called Peter Piper's.
Oh, that'd be good.
Pickles and peppers.
All right.
Okay, OBs, if you're listening, you should rename this menu item to Peter Piper's Pickles and Peppers. You're welcome.
You know who would not
I
be
hope
welcome?
To get billing
every
on this.
Other person ordering the food. Can I get the Peter Piper pickle peppers?
That's better.
How many pickle peppers?
That makes it more fun for people to order. Anyway, you know what also was fun to order?
The star of the show.
The ribeye quesadillas.
Right?
They were so good.
I've
had
before.
These before.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why you were like, you have to get these. It's pepper jack and cheddar cheeses in a jalapeno cheddar wrapped tortilla served with sour cream and salsa. This is like such a tender, well-seasoned cut of meat. It's so good. It melts in your mouth. Of course, there's lots of cheese on it. And the tortilla is perfectly crispy. So it's got that, you can actually hold it with one hand. Sometimes quesadillas can get a little soggy and it's hard. But this is perfect. It's crunchy, crispy. You can dip it really well. It just melts in your mouth.
Just the perfect amount of saltiness and greasiness, cheesiness, super meaty.
And that's the thing. It sounds like it could be a really greasy meal, right? But it's not. It doesn't feel, you don't feel sinful
right.
as you're eating it. You don't feel bad about yourself as you're eating it. It's really good. In fact, I want more now. I think I might order it again.
And the perfect thing about it is that you mentioned those dipping sauces earlier. They have a slew of different sauces, whether it be the salsa that it comes with, the sour cream. There's ranches if you want to go that route. I know people that said that they dip it in the crawfish sauce. That's kind of that ketchup, mayo, mustard style sauce that most places have. And so you have a bunch of different sauces. For me, I did hot sauce and I added jalapenos when I had it a few weeks ago. And that was awesome. So,
I think I tried it in each sauce and really you couldn't make a wrong move.
Yes. And that's really what they're known for now is their burgers and then those quesadillas. And
speaking of burger.
And this is why. Because the reputation precedes it even going in. For burger, you know, I kind of looked through which ones and I said, you know what, I'm going to go with the Rodeo Burger. So it's barbecue sauce, grilled jalapenos, there's onion rings, pepper jack, and American cheese, and they do it on Texas toast, which I think I really do like a Texas toast even more so than a normal bun sometimes. And it's so crispy, the burger's so thick, and you get that sweet and tangy barbecue sauce on it, a lot of onion flavor from those onion rings. The jalapenos really give the pickle flavor to a burger, but they do so with a little heat. So, you know, once again, kind of tying back to that appetizer there, really every bite, I think the things that really shine the most is immediately you had the jalapeno, you had the sauce, and then you had that good burger meat. And all three of those really played in unison. And, of course, the cheese. And it really was a fun cheeseburger. Now, definitely one of my staples to go to when I want a cheeseburger, that's going to be one of the places I circle.
I said earlier, but OB's is one of those places that not only is it kind of in the heart of all the action in downtown Lake Charles, I mean, it's right there within walking distance of the rest of downtown or the event center, if that's where you're headed for maybe some event. The lakefront's just a couple steps away. This is a really a great spot in the middle, in the heart of Lake Charles, and you just don't want to miss it when you come to town.
So make sure to go there and order a burger or order a quesadilla and really enjoy yourself because, look, at the end of the day, they know how to entertain, and they know how to feature pretty well, too.
And don't forget to grab a drink while you're there, because, of course, it's a fun atmosphere as well. Have a good time.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Jacob Guidry, a Lake Charles-based comic who's been doing stand-up and producing comedy shows for the last 4 years. He's opened for the likes of Jeff Dye, Daryl Felsberg, Lisa Curry, Caleb Sinan, Neil Rubenstein, and Andrew Youngblood. He performs all along the Gulf Coast, hitting casinos and clubs along the way, and his most recent stop right here on the Louisiana's Playground podcast. Welcome to the show, Jacob.
I am very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, welcome. All right, so Southwest Louisiana is known for our big city amenities, but small town charm, which makes for a variety of experiences that somebody can add to their itinerary when visiting, like from the types of food, outdoor adventures, national and regional entertainment that the lake area draws in. So before we get started here on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, we'd like to see how you play in the playground. So we've got some rapid fire questions for you.
All right.
Are you ready?
Let me hear it.
Crawfish or gumbo?
Crawfish.
Ooh, quick answer. Why?
I do like gumbo. I don't normally like how I feel the day after, but crawfish is, you know, it's a bit more work, but it's so good. I can't pass up on crawfish. I feel like I get the potatoes with the crawfish. I can honestly not even eat the crawfish and just eat the potatoes.
Okay, see, I don't eat crawfish, but I'm a sucker for corn and potatoes.
They're so good.
And sausage and everything else carrots. That you cook. Everything else that you
I like
cook
the carrots
with
in there,
carrots, where are you from?
And broccoli. Have you ever put broccoli well, in the, a crawfish I, boil? The,
okay, yes. So that was an experiment that we did. Okay. Growing up, we always did sausage, potatoes, carrots, and potatoes along with our crawfish. Mm-hmm. And you do the baby carrots. So they you pop them right in and they soak up every ounce
of that
bowl.
And broccoli is really good.
And then we tried the broccoli, and the broccoli is like, I mean, you might as well be drinking it. It just soaks it up, but it's awesome. If you've never had it as an experiment, go ahead.
I'm going to have to try it out. I'm going to trust you on that.
We'll use some broccoli. All right. Next question, number two, poolside or beach side?
Poolside.
Okay.
I'm much closer to my shower afterwards. So that's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't like that sandy feeling
exactly,
for very long.
Yeah.
Understood. Okay. And this is an easy one for you. I don't know, maybe you'll shock me here. A concert or a comedy show?
Comedy show.
Oh, really?
What? I gotta say, guys.
I'm shocked. I am floored.
What is it about a comedy show that beyond just attracts you to go to it over a concert now has kind of started, you know, rejuvenized your career?
I think it's... A comedy show is so much more intimate. Like, you're going there. If you go to see a band, and most of the time, if you go see a band, you're going out to eat somewhere or whatever, like, the band's background, like, it's a good vibe. And so I do enjoy that vibe. But for the most part, like, a comedy show, it's very, like, it's just the one person. So, like, if you have a band, mostly they're going to play, they're going to do, like, covers. So you'll hear, like, a lot of the greatest hits and things like that. But each time you hear a comedy show, it's going to be a unique experience from whoever the comedian is. And it's all just them. So it's really up to them to see how well, you know, they can control the crowd and you know, make people laugh. And I feel like the more that I do it, my head is like a little box. And the more comics I see, the box just expands a little bit. Because I'm like, I didn't even think that was possible. Like what you're joking about, what you're talking about. Or I never thought about that. So it's just like, it gets my creative juices flowing.
When did you decide that comedy was your thing? Like, when did you first know that this was for you?
In like seventh and sixth grade, I remember writing material. I had a joke about, like, it was... You would only go to the funeral home just for the sandwiches. and I remember telling that to my mom, and my mom was like, that's interesting. Okay.
And interesting.
Then, yeah. But in college, I had a company where I traveled around, and I sold watches. And I was traveling with my buddy, and he was like, dude, you're a very funny guy. Because I was terrible at it. I did enough to like pay for college, and that was it. But I would just make him laugh the entire time. And he was like, dude, you should do stand-up comedy. And I was like, okay. So we convinced the guys over at OB, so let's do our first comedy show there, like December 22nd of 2019. And me and my buddy both did 30 minutes each of material we'd never done before.
Wow.
Let me tell you what, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was not good.
30 minutes. That's
an absolute bomb.
It wasn't a bomb. I had a lot of the guys I was in a fraternity with. They all came out.
Yeah.
And so they were, you know, laughing because it was us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm funny. I got this.
I'm hilarious.
I'm the funniest thing to come out of Lake Charles. And I remember I did another show somewhere else in Lafayette, and I was like, I've got some work to do.
Yeah.
Definitely. But what a great time to start comedy, you know, and right before 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great timing.
Yeah.
So a traveling watch salesman.
Yep.
To a comedian.
The jokes write themselves.
They do.
Look, the switch was right on time for you. So you've then since created a Lake Charles Facebook group, Lake Charles Comedy. How did you kind of get that started? And I know it's kind of grown for you because, you talk about OB's, the every Monday night, you guys have comedy shows there, but you also have kind of one-off comedy shows as well when you're getting these story comedy acts coming in.
Mm-hmm. So I do, I actually didn't start Lake Charles Comedy. Somebody else did. And then, but that was a few years ago.
Okay.
And then whenever COVID and the hurricanes happened, nobody was doing anything. And so I started a show at Crying Eagle, LOL, which ran for about 2 years. And then that kind of was the Kickstarter between that and OB's to get shows going. Then we got Library Riot. So I normally do at least 2 to 3 shows at Library Riot once a month.
Wow.
Once a month. I two of them, 2 to 3 of them every month. I'm sorry. I've had like 3 waters. I'm kind of, you know.
You're kind of feeling it.
I'm struggling. You know, it's fun. Yeah. but yeah, so we do. So I didn't start it, but I took over it and turned it into something, into a scene to where I have people who go and do other places like Houston and Lafayette. And they're like, hey, I want to do Jacob's room. Like they see the picture and they're like, hey, I want to come do that room. So we've had some pretty big names come through. Andrew Youngblood, one of the guys that you mentioned, he owns one of the clubs in Houston that I go to a lot, but he also opens for Mark Norman. So he like tours with him, went to Australia, like all over the country. Wow. And he was like, hey, dude, I see your room. I want to come do it. So the room is getting validity through all of the people that have been coming out to the shows and turning it into a scene where people actually want to come out, which is killer because a lot of people just do shows. And then, but in order for you to get shows to where you're drawing attention of B to A level comics is not to toot my own horn, you know, but it's very cool. And it's very fulfilling for me to see all the hard work has gone into something that's worthwhile for other people to take value in.
Like you said that this wasn't happening. There just wasn't really, there wasn't a scene here in Lake Charles for that after, especially after COVID and the hurricanes. Mm-hmm. How do you grow that audience?
A lot of cold messaging people. I remember for the first few LOL shows, I was texting like 400 people, like from Facebook, from Instagram, people I hadn't talked to since high school. And I know that some of those people don't really want to hear from me anymore. And I get that, you know, but also running ads on Facebook and Instagram. What's been really cool is that after doing it for so long, people still don't realize that there is comedy in Lake Charles. And so, but we've, over the past few months, I've been having people who have come out to every single show because they're like, dude, we had no idea that y'all did this. We love this. We love going to bigger cities to find this, but knowing that it's here in Lake Charles now brings so much value to us wanting to stick around.
Sure. I think that's one thing is discovering what you've got in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times it does feel, in the past, you felt like you've had to travel for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't anymore. We've got a lot to offer here in Lake Charles. You just got to explore that world and tap into it and realize what we've got to offer.
How would you describe the comedy scene right now?
Comedy scene's on fire, man. I think every weekend that I'm in town over the summer, we've got different people coming through. So it's the scenes are growing. We're starting to get new people coming out to the open mics because right now there's like 3 of us that are really consistently doing it. It's me, Keys the Comic, and Jay Moody. We're really the only 3 guys who are being consistent with it. But that just comes from just let people need to know that there is an open mic and there is, which is the Monday shows that we do at OB's. So it's just getting, you know, making sure people know about it. It's that way they can come out.
And besides stand-up, what other types of comedy shows do you guys kind of put on?
So we'll do really cool. There's a guy out of Lafayette named John Merrifield who runs a show called The Ghost Roast. And so we all dress up as famous dead celebrities do like a Comedy Central roast style.
That's great.
It's so much fun. Sometimes the jokes do get lost on the crowd because they're like, what is this fact you're talking about? It'd be like a random fact from their childhood. And they're like, I don't know who this person.
Y'all have to go do research to find out more about that. Ghost you're playing.
Yeah, we like. I remember one time we did like I was Sean Connery and somebody else was Pele, and then we had like just all like all these. And but then this one guy was like this random Norwegian king from the 13th century
that nobody knows.
And everyone's like everyone's jokes are like we do not know who you are.
Sounds like one of those YouTube the epic rap battles of history.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yeah. I loved watching those growing up.
They're still making them.
Oh, they are? I haven't seen them.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I got it.
They're still making them.
I didn't know that. I didn't know those were still a thing.
Yeah. Who's next? What if locally, since you've kind of gotten started, what has been maybe your favorite memory? Maybe it's a joke. Maybe it's a special moment or whatever so far from this journey.
Dude, I gotta say, I had this guy, Jeff Dye, he came out. And it was very happenstance that I got him. He was in Lafayette, and I reached out to the guy over in Lafayette, fantastic guy, JP Leonard. And I was like, dude, I love Jeff Dye. I'd love to get him out here. And then so we talked it through, able to make it happen. He came through, and I got to open up for him, and he's been one of my heroes. So to get to open up for him, and then after I got off stage, he was like, hey, dude, that diss joke that you did, I really liked that joke. And I was like, okay. So it's like, because I have a lot of people who are like, oh, you're funny, you know, you're this and that. It's like, okay, but he's been doing it. Like, he's at the level where I want to be. And he's like, hey, you're in the right direction. So that was definitely the coolest moment.
What an awesome, like, validating moment. Like, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly, yeah.
Are you able to tell that joke now?
it'll probably get cut, but yeah, sure.
Well, okay, so... We were talking about this earlier. So what's going to get cut from the show? What's too adult? You know, there are certain, like you said, it's G-rated versus PG-13, whatever. How do you decide, like, on a crowd? What are you going to go in and tell? What kind of jokes are you going to tell? Clean, dirty?
I just do me.
Yeah.
If they want you to be clean, they will let you know beforehand. Mm-hmm. Rarely that does not happen. It depends on if, like if I have a corporate event or I get booked for those kind of gigs, then sometimes they'll be like, yeah, you know, it needs to be clean. I remember I did a Christmas party and I was like, does it need to be clean? What does it need to be? And they were like, dude, it's a bunch of like port workers. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll be fine. Say whatever you want. And I was like, okay. Well, then we go to this like really nice house in this really nice neighborhood, and I have to set up my speaker and everything in this living room. And then all of their wives are there. And I was like, I didn't really expect this to be like a family gathering. And it was like all of the men were on one side and all of the women were on one side. It was like a middle school dance. And I just, the left side was loving it. The right side was not having it at all. They were just not fans.
They were all staring down their husbands going, don't laugh at
that.
Yeah,
that's not funny.
But I think it's important to distinction, because when people think clean, dirty shows, it's, why did you have to make it dirty? But I think sometimes the emphasis on certain words work, right? Like, there's certain times if John McClane from Die Hard says, yippee-ki-yay, Oedipus, it doesn't work the same.
Now you're talking my language. We could just talk Die Hard for the next 4 hours.
Is it a Christmas movie?
You're right. I almost gave some emphasis words, and I did it.
He almost used an emphasis word. That's what I'm going to start calling it. when our children start using some emphasis words.
The E stands for emphasis.
that's what I'm going to tell them. That's great. So, okay, an aspiring comedian in Lake Charles, what advice do you have for him?
You just got to get stage time. Get up there and do as much time as possible. That's it.
How do you feel like, especially as you've kind of seen it grow, how do you feel like comedy adds to the cultural landscape of a town and has done so here?
Dude, it's an escape, man. Like, people come, and it's a different kind of escape, because it's the way that comedy works is that you're building up a tension, and then you're releasing that tension with the punchline or with the tag, whatever, with the joke. And the release is the laugh. So that's, and people need that, especially like, I feel like it's a cliche thing to say, but I mean, honest to God, for Lake Charles, we really do need that, because we're getting hit by freak storms all the time. And like, it's just, life is tough. And so being able to come out and enjoy yourself for a little bit, that's what I love to do. That's why I love it so much.
And comedy is born through struggle and pain. Like, that's where a lot of comedy is kind of born through. So a place like this where we're kind of saying like, look, we're tired of this, we're getting better, we kind of really are a fertile ground for comedy.
Yeah.
And I want to know, too, how do you see it in contrast to, we've done so great with music festivals and really creating that vibe? Because it is such a part of Lake Charles culture, right? Mm-hmm. Through things like Zydeco and everything connected through there, that oftentimes comedy is, it takes a side seat. How do you think it plays into it with that being such a main focus of what we do so well here?
I mean, it's a different form. I just think it's a different form of entertainment. And it's for some people, it's not for some people. I don't really know if I'm answering your question right now.
Yeah, I know it's kind of a deep question, right?
Well, so, I think for some people, and I don't know if this is going to go make the show either, but I think for some people, you know, a concert is a place that you go because you want to you want to listen, but almost also be like not as engaged in it.
Yeah.
And with comedy, like I'm listening, I'm having to think about what you're saying. I'm having to follow a storyline. I'm having to be more interactive, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a different person who's going to go. It's interesting because one of our big questions that's one of our top three questions. Every time somebody walks in here, we say concert or comedy show. And I feel like it says a ton about a person. It's like whether they want to be interactive and engaged in something or they just really want to sit back and relax for that moment. And it can change from day to day, I guess. It does for us, you know, looking for our own form of entertainment. But I think, yeah, it's just a different audience.
And I need to crunch the numbers, but I would say probably it's about 20% comedy show.
Really?
Let's go. So
for us?
Yeah, for the answers, there's been about maybe 20% of the people that we've had.
Oh, yeah.
So it's about 4 or 5 of the 43 now that have done so. Well, that wouldn't be 20%. But
I think,
let's go.
I need to do the math.
Look,
right?
It took me 3 times to pass stats in college. I believe you.
I think comedy shows, they, like you said, that tension and release. You know, a concert's great, but you know, someone can, not to down concerts at all, but somebody can listen to music anytime. And a comedy show is a little bit different. It is, like you said, it's an intimate setting. It's interactive. You feel like it's for you. Someone's performing for you.
Exactly.
In the audience. And I think that release that people need so much here. Yeah. Like I work at KPLC and I had to make our reporter stop saying this because it was the first line of every story. It was
breaking news.
Well, that too. But a pandemic and 2 hurricanes. A pandemic and 2 hurricanes. We say it every day, but it's true. We've gone, like you said, we've gone through a lot. We need a moment.
Yeah, don't forget the freeze and the flood and then Ball's Fried Chicken closing. I mean, what are we supposed to do?
It's really heartbreaking. It, you know, it's just, we've been through a lot.
We really have. Guys, we're going to take a 5-minute bow your heads. We're going to cry for a little bit.
A moment of silence. For Ball's Fried Chicken.
What's that?
They got hit again in that tornado. So
we're
still hoping that they're coming back. Bigger, better, stronger.
But look, the sun, it rises. Now, to get back to what you guys do on OBs on Monday night, what are those Monday night, the open mic nights, what does that look like typically?
I have to let people know, and I let them know whenever I open up the show. I'm like, hey guys, here's the rules. Here's like, you know, don't heckle your comedians. Please silence your cell phones, that kind of stuff. Like whenever I'm addressing the crowd, and I have to remind them like, hey, this is an open mic. This is anybody can sign up. So you're going to see some seasoned people. We're going to be trying out some new things. We're going to have a headliner at the end, but you're also going to see some new people who are just working out material. So it's a free for all is what it is. It's like a battle royale and everyone's just trying their best, you know?
Because at the end of the day, comedy is so much different than, as we talked about, concert.
Mm-hmm.
Concert, you could get the feel of if you've got the right songs, right? You can play it on the radio. You're not testing the groundwater. There's no way to test comedy outside of in front of a live audience that isn't expecting it.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to test out your stuff. It has to be live and it has to be real and it's going to be genuine. And like another thing, sometimes I'll tell a joke and I'm like, okay, I thought that was really funny and the crowd didn't like it. But I can tell feel the vibe from the crowd beforehand if they're going to like what I'm about to say or not. Because they may just not be into it. Like the crowd may be tired or a lot of people may have just had a stressful day. So you never know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So I know if the material I'm doing hits like 90% of the audiences that I do, then there's something there.
Right.
But if the guy before me, I went and did a show in Austin and the guy went up before me and he did some crowd work and the lady was like, because she said something and he was like, oh, what'd you say? And she was like, no, I didn't say anything. And he was like, what'd you say? And I was like, oh my God. I just like started stressing out because I was like, there goes all the energy in the room. And I got up there and I was trying to bring it back and the crowd was just, they were so uncomfortable from the last guy that it just threw off my whole set.
Yeah.
So it's just, there's so many variables to go with. So the best thing is to just not have any expectations. Just go up there, try, do your best.
Yeah. How on the fly are your sets? So you've got a list of jokes or topics or, you know, areas that you're going to at least an outline.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever, because of a crowd's response to something, you ever go, whoop, we're just going to skip pages 3, 7, 8. You know, do you ever change it while you're on stage?
Or going out and saying like, What about that guy?
Yeah, look at this guy over here. I've done that before. I try not to change my material.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll change it, like you said. You know, if I pick up something in the audience, I think, oh, that would be funny to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a joke where I talk about, what if you had class with all of the presidents? And then I do an impression of the presidents. And there had been some people who'd been talking the whole time. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'd really love to, you know, choose who went to those classes with me. I wouldn't choose any of these people that have been talking the whole time. And then that just got like a good response. So just some stuff like that. I'm not the best at crowd work. It kind of makes me a little anxious. So,
yeah.
I'm not gonna be like, hey, what do you guys do for, how long have y'all been, you know, together? Or if I do, I'll be like, hey, you know, what's your name? Jared? Cool. That's all the crowd work I have, guys. I don't have anything else.
I am always really impressed by people who can do that part well, because I feel like that's really, I mean, the whole thing is tough. Not that one aspect is not, but
it is a skill on its own.
That is a skill. Yeah. To be able to just come up with jokes.
Right.
And in fact, I was showing Brady something. It was some comedian doing some crowd work that was hilarious.
Rife.
Matt Rife. Yeah. And it was, the clip was absolutely wonderful. And I said, I wonder how often, I mean, we're only seeing what's posted to social media. So it's going to be good.
Right.
How often does he, I do, you know, do crowd work and it's just a dud and he just
probably
has to
lot.
Move on.
You gotta move on.
You assume he probably has had some bad moves, you know?
And there's a couple of really good, like Savros, I think is how you say it. His is exceptional.
Yeah.
But you kind of wonder too, how many of those are like plants and that kind of stuff too. I feel like you kind of have to, especially in some of the larger ones, just because like you can't chant. If you got this Comedy Central special, you can't chant. Or now it's Netflix special. You can't chance having a bad.
Yeah, you don't want to do edited. That on like, they are edited, but you don't want to do a
yeah,
lot
but
of that.
They're edited, but they're not that edited, you know? Like, I know they grab from like three nights of content and they put them together. That's why he wears the same outfit all 3 nights.
But Brady's a conspiracy theorist in general. So if you ever see anything with comedy or whatever, and it does seem like, well, maybe this wasn't genuine. Maybe this was, you know, a plant or something like that in the audience. He's like totally convinced.
Well, you can tell how quick, like some of them are so quick. And it's like, dude, I know you could be fast on your feet, but come on. So
maybe they're that good.
With that is that they've had those types of interactions. It's repetitive. It's patterns. So you see the same type of interactions with people.
It's a template.
It's
Like, oh, you work in finance. We'll have a joke about that.
Exactly,
you just like, there's just something you know how
and
to play
off. You just throw that out at them. You're like, how much money did you lose in Dogecoin? You know, just stuff like that. Yeah.
So, okay. Brady,
I'm going to tell you some insider information.
Take your foil hat off.
We did. The moon landing was a hoax, and comics did.
Okay, I'm not a conspiracy theorist across the board.
Comics did the moon landing.
I believe that, actually. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just know that they do have plants that they set up for some of those jokes in the crowd. It's not all the time.
Why do you think I invite my grandma to every show I have? She doesn't even show up.
Thanks, Meemaw.
She doesn't. And in terms of some of these shows and some of the comics you invite, how do you choose who comes to the shows, who gets the invites? How does that kind of work out?
So it's really crazy. Social media does a lot of that because I like to travel. I'll go do shows in Houston and Austin. And those are like people are just constantly cycling through, doing all of the shows, just trying to get spots wherever we can because stage time is our currency. So I'll see a lot of people, and most of the time it's I see you do well, and then I talk to you afterwards, and I like you as a person because I feel like I have a very good judge of character. So if we're going to vibe, we're going to have a good time, and I bring you out and I show you Lake Charles, and I'm like, hey, you know, this is a cool place to do stand-up. You do my show. We're going to hang out afterwards. Like you want someone who's going to be – like you're going to have a good time with them. So it's a lot of like, you know, handshaking and just getting to know people. So I do a lot of it through that. And then also I'll have other bookers who will reach out to me and be like, hey, you should check out this person. Or people will just like cold email me and be like, hey, here's a list of my dates. And this is what I've done before. These are the clubs I've headlined. Would love to come to your room. But a majority of the people that I do is from being on the road, traveling and meeting them, seeing them somewhere else and thinking y'all would be a good spot for Lake Charles.
Looking ahead, what are your hopes for the future of Lake Charles comedy?
All right, breaking news. Y'all ready for it?
Yep.
The Lake Chuckle Comedy Festival.
I like it.
It's being planned right now. Shooting for sometime next year during crawfish season. So we'll have like a little crawfish theme. But that's the next step.
I'm so excited.
Indoor
right now.
Or outdoor venue?
Indoor.
I was about to say, I don't know if comedy's going to work out. Like, it can work outdoors,
it can work outdoors. There's just so many variables. I'd rather do it inside.
Yeah, that's it.
It's
like a good
all
idea.
Of the shows are going to be done from a pirogue.
With your pet alligator beside you.
Exactly.
Boudreaux and Thibodeau will
You're
going to
come
there
from your house on
seat.
Bourbon Street. Yes. Yeah. That's really exciting. Lake Chuckle Comedy Fest. Mm-hmm.
In anything upcoming over the next few months here that you guys are excited about?
Only show that I've got coming up, because I'm going to be traveling a lot in May. May 9th is going to be our first show at Luna Downtown. We're going to be doing it outside in the Luna Live section. So I'm excited for that. I think Luna's a great venue. I've never done a show there before, but I know that, you know, pre-2019, Lake Charles Comedy was doing some shows out there whenever, like, the big Luna Live and everything was open. So I'm excited for that. Dave's a good guy, the guy who owns Luna. And so we've been talking. I think it's going to be a successful show.
And talk about an intimate spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, very intimate spot, very... we're just going to do like theater style seating. I think it'll be a good time. I got some buddies of mine coming out from Austin. They're absolutely hysterical. They've been on Kill Tony a few times.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just super fun guys. Very excited for that.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to it too. And I can't wait for the Comedy Fest to take off.
Thanks again to Jacob for joining us here on the show. And thank you for taking time out of your day to join us here on the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Press that follow button, the plus sign that's on your screen. Press it. Don't press it twice, though, because then you would unfollow. So just press it once to follow. And while you're there, leave us a rating or a review.
One click. That's it. It'll help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Just go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and upcoming events in Southwest Louisiana. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.